Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we are. So for the last time, until the next time, Andy.
Yes.
It was me and you. Did you have a nice time?
I did. It was very good fun. Thank you very much for sitting in for Paul.
It's a total pleasure. I feel I've learnt so much.
If only you had. Honestly.
No, I just get more stubborn. No, you know, your best... I'm not sure you've managed me in the best way possible, you see. If you'd not reacted to Pierre-Emerick Aubergine, then it wouldn't have been like... It was a bit like when I was doing the news. I was a newsreader on the Peterborough Breakfast.
Really? And the, God, you've done some great jobs.
And the presenter turned to me and he said, listen, I don't mind you joining in.
Yeah.
But he said this with no irony. He just said, but as Tom O'Connor says on Crosswits, I do the gags. So once he said that to me, I was like, well, here we go, son.
I bet he's got sunk without trace, hasn't he, that fella?
I don't know where he was. Quite a nice fella, but it was a great line. So it was like a red rag to a bull.
He deserved to be working on Radio Peterborough.
I very much hope Scott in Eastbourne texts Aubergine to your show for the rest of time. But there were some good bits today.
Yeah, we had a very fascinating chat about football kits that we're both quite passionate about. Mm. A couple of guys came in to talk about that, from classic football shirts. Mm. We had a bit of a laugh. We talked about last night's game, a few bits and pieces, and then you came up with a very good survey.
Yeah, it was good.
Yes, I enjoyed that.
Thanks.
So I played the part of the interviewer. Mm. You played the part of a well-known 80s footballer.
I did, yeah.
And
that I'd never heard of.
No, but I had, so we were all right.
Yeah. Here it is. Paul back tomorrow. Marvellous. Cheers, guys. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. And how are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. So before we talk about last night's game, which we're going to do, I'm just going to give you my favourite story of the day.
This okay, yes, please.
Brilliant story. Dog walker Jade Barwell, 30, mm-hmm. took a live grenade home thinking it was a potato. After a pet, she obviously doesn't eat a lot of vegetables, this woman. After a pet dug it up at Clifton in Notts, a boyfriend called the police and the army blew it up. I mean, how do you do that? It's a clear difference between a potato and a hand grenade.
Would you like footballers that sound like tubers? I think it's huge pressure on today's show. It's very exciting.
Is it?
So I sensed the cracks appearing yesterday in our relationship as I read out Pierre-Emerick Aubergine. And I bought some notes.
But you only did those notes for the Guardian Football Weekly, didn't you?
No, not true. Okay. Ryan says, hi, Max, I'm in Great Missenden, Buckinghamshire. I can confirm Jack Rodwell isn't in the vicinity.
That's good.
Please let us know. If you have a look around, wherever you are, we'll find out. So we can help Chris Common locate Jack Rodwell. You know, I took notes on the game.
Okay, what have you got? I've got notes.
Well, okay, so I began, right, and this is interesting when we talk about those football shirts. Yeah. But the first note I took in the first minute is of all those massively famous teams, okay, the classic teams of European football, the Bayern Munich kit does almost nothing for me. It's got an Ensley League feel, in my opinion.
Ensley League.
My second note is that I wrote this.
I once wrote a song for Ensley.
Did you?
For an advert. Okay. That's a whole other
thing. How did
it go? I think it was something like Ensley, a better deal.
Well, it still could be.
It still could be.
I
won't sing it for you.
Keylor Navas, I said, long-haired goalkeepers, not for me. And I made this note before the first goal where he just jumped out of the way.
You had nothing to say about Owen Hargreaves then.
Okay, carry on, because I've got the point. I believe that you were going to bring up about Owen Hargreaves.
No, I've got here. Owen said, a lively start here, really high energy. You think you couldn't say the word really high energy with less energy if you tried.
The moment I thought you would pick up on Owen Hargreaves, so I know you're a big fan of his.
I really am. Thanks, Max.
Was when Ribery, the ball went through to Ribery, and he just knocked it with his shin.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And Owen Hargreaves said, "That's a poor touch from Ribery." and I've written, "Andy will comment on this." Another note I have is...
say it as you see, as Roy Walker would say.
if you were to build a footballer, okay, of all the best parts of footballers, would you take the outside of Luka Modric's right foot? I believe that is the best outside of a right foot in the game. He didn't have a good game. I mean, I thought the game was... Pretty terrible.
It was a terrible game, wasn't it? The quality was so lacking. Ronaldo, was that his worst shot ever in the Champions League? I mean, really, really. He looked at the pitch. Of course, we all do that, don't we? But it just summed up the whole game, that, for me. There was very little quality.
That was a great moment in the 67th minute where the commentator blamed the foreign director, which I'm always a huge fan of, not showing enough replays.
Well, I thought he had a point. Darren Fletcher.
Well, maybe he did have a point, but I just enjoy it whenever that happens. It's sort of Champions League bingo for away games. Thomas Francis says, Jack Rodwell not cleaning windows in the Algarve, if it helps. Joe, just got out of the shower, can confirm Jack Rodwell not in my bathroom. David, I'm in Telford heading to Tamworth. Jack Rodwell isn't in Telford. I'll let you know if I see him in Tamworth.
That's good. Rio had a problem saying Zinedine Zidane, but we all do. I mean, Zinedine Zidane, you call him. It is a difficult name for commentators and broadcasters, I feel.
I liked how they moved Rio nearer. They changed the formation of Ferdinand, Lampard and Gerrard. Because I suspect if they kept putting them in the same place, people would start making jokes about Gerrard and Lampard and whether they can broadcast on the same show together. I think it's in the minds of the BT execs to keep shuffling the pack, keep moving them around.
It keeps it interesting, doesn't it? I'm a big fan of Steve McManaman. I think he's a good commentator, but he obviously Tuesday night was amazing for anybody connected with Liverpool. But I think even if it had been 5-5 with 5 overhead kicks from Cristiano Ronaldo, it still wasn't going to be as good as Tuesday night for Steve.
How much are we crediting Ronaldo with Marcelo's goal? Because he did what is now he's patented as the overhead kick fake, where he turned and was about to do an overhead kick, didn't, but the Bayern Munich defence completely stopped, so Marcelo could put it in the corner.
That's a good observation.
Thank you so much. Look, I really wanted to step it up today.
You've done well, man.
Thanks so much.
I'm impressed.
I mean, I've got nothing left.
What, for 3 hours?
I'm out, but
I'm out of here.
My theory is, if you start well in a football match or a show, I think the rest of it just takes care of itself.
You're not going to talk about hand grenade for a potato.
No, that is really marvellous, isn't it? Sam says, I can confirm Jack Rodwell not at the Vets for Pets surgery in Stafford. JMO, I'm in Sydney, Australia. Jack Rodwell not in my suburb of Mansfield. I can't account for the entire city. Jamie says, Jack Rodwell is not in my bathroom. I mean, we could do 3 hours on this.
No, we're not. That's enough Jack Rodwell ones that you're reading out.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. And this is my second favourite of the day. This is a text from Jimmy. He wrote to the Daily Star with this one. Prince George looks a very thoughtful and wise young master. The monarchy will be safe with his king. I mean, seriously. He's 4 years old. You can't tell.
Well, no, but the implication is that it's, you know, the whole of the Commonwealth is in total strife until he gets there, isn't it? He's looked at all the other, you know, all the others in line before George, and he's terrified. We just must wait. Ah, marvellous stuff.
Good.
Well, are you happy now?
I'm very happy, I can just
tell you, all I can do is tell you where Jack Rodwell isn't.
Tell us what's coming up on the rest of the show. That'll be good.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got a big stash. You heard at the start of the news, didn't you, at 1 o'clock, this story about Wembley Stadium being sold to the Fulham owner.
I presume it's not for Fulham. You have to think it's something to do with the NFL. You have to think it's to do with a London franchise. Mm-hmm. And I think from it's an interesting one. It'd be great if... but I would imagine whoever owns Wembley would still want the semi-finals there. But it'd be fantastic if... you know, this would allow the FA to play the semi-finals, you know, go back to sort of Villa Park and places like that.
I completely agree.
Everybody feels
there are a number of things that should definitely not exist in football anymore. Semi-finals at Wembley is one. Away goals, obviously, is another we should absolutely get rid of. Do we have time to mention the amazing piece of control from Marcelo, which was the only good bit?
That was a bit of class.
It was a little bit of Berbatov in there. Who I would pay to watch control.
They're a funny
kick.
Team, Real Madrid, aren't they? Even when they're not playing well, they said that they made this point last night. They do find a way. I mean, you fancy Liverpool to have a chance, if they get through, that they've got a great chance in this fine, presuming they're going to play Real Madrid.
I suppose it doesn't.
But they're somehow about them. They just sort of somehow dig it out. I mean, last night, how you look at the end of the game, you think, how did Bayern lose this game? They had so many chances and so many opportunities. But
do you think it was? I mean, sometimes I think we forget that when a team is playing, they are playing against another team who are trying to stop them doing what they're doing. So you've got lots of good footballers trying to stop you trying to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
But it did seem a game. If I was a Liverpool fan watching that, I would sit there and go, are these really the two of the best four teams in Europe? And I would be very
confident. Well, I think they are. And those teams will be both. It won't beat Bayern, I don't think. But even if it is, both those teams will be tighter against Liverpool than Roma were. That's for sure. But,
yeah.
You know,
I think you're right.
Bayern got so many injuries. It didn't help. It was annoying when Robin had to go off so early. Really.
Yeah, it made them pretty lopsided, I thought. But it was like two old boxers. Sort of. It was just,
well, both, you know, both they made that point as well. You know, both teams have looked pretty similar for the last couple of years. They and probably that, could do with refreshing.
And that happens in Sunday League. You know, your best player pulls a hammy and then someone else goes off up to 30. And then for the last half an hour, you're just looking around going, God, I don't think we've got enough. Or, you know, maybe we can get someone who's playing in the threes game over on the other pitch.
they did that.
You are. What's his name?
Yeah.
Not
Aaron Lemon.
Here we go. We'll do that again. Right, you are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs. Max in for Paul today. We're here to
the Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
Now, Andy, you've interviewed many footballers, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Some happy and, you know, gregarious and good talkers, some less so. Fair to say?
Yeah, that's very true.
In
yeah.
my experience as well, some of you may have seen this on social media today. But it's an interview from a magazine, a bit like that Refocus feature you did that I really enjoyed, where you asked ex-pros if they could remember anything they'd said. Anyway, there's one doing the rounds on social media with Derek Hales. Now, I know nothing about Derek Hales. And some of the younger listeners may not know about him as a footballer.
He played for Charlton. He had a wonderful beard. He was a tremendous scorer of goals. Very prolific. Probably most famous, like we were talking about this before, about how people only remember the worst things about you. Probably the most famous thing is his fight on the pitch with Mike Flanagan when they both got sent off.
So anyway, a magazine back in the 70s or 80s would have done an interview with him. We have you have the questions. I have the art. Quite long, Andy, but go with it.
I'll go with it as long as the producer and I are awake.
I am Derek Hales. This is the interview that Derek Hales did.
Full name?
Derek David Hales.
Birthplace?
Lower Halstow, Kent.
Birthdate?
15th of 12th, 51.
Weight?
11 stone 7.
Height?
5'9".
Could have missed all of that out. Married?
Yes, to Carol.
Car?
Volvo.
Pets?
None.
Previous clubs?
Luton, Charlton, Derby, West Ham.
Okay. Job or trade before turning pro?
I worked in a post office, telecommunications.
Fair enough. Nickname at club?
None.
Not even Halesy?
None.
Yes. Worst ever injury?
Groin injury last season.
You're lucky then. Favourite British player and why?
This is where it gets good. None.
None. Favourite foreign player and why?
None.
He was obviously dashing this off in a hurry. Favourite British side?
Don't have one.
Don't have one. Best ever British side?
None.
Best ever international 11?
None.
Did he get paid for this? Favourite away ground?
Don't have one.
Favourite stadium which you've played?
None in particular.
Best goal scored?
I enjoy all the goals I score.
Oh, he was being awkward, wasn't he, Derek? Best goal seen scored?
Don't have a favourite.
Okay. Most difficult opponent?
All opponents have a job to do.
He's bland, isn't he? Most memorable match?
I don't have one.
Biggest thrill?
Birth of my son, Danny, a few weeks ago.
Oh, you can't argue with that. Biggest disappointment?
Being treated unfairly.
Oh. Favourite other sports?
Golf and shooting wildfowl.
Oh, I thought that was going to be none. Miscellaneous likes, none.
Going out shooting.
Really? Miscellaneous dislikes?
Tolerating boring people.
Yeah, me and Derek are sort of kindred spirits, really. I might start having a fight with you in the middle of the show. We can both be sent off. Favourite TV show?
Tom and Jerry.
Really?
Yeah.
TV show you always turn off?
Coronation Street, Crossroads.
Oh, well, I agree with him on Crossroads. Okay. That's terrible that was. Favourite reading?
Science fiction.
Okay. Nothing more specific than that.
Sorry.
The wife doesn't read to him or anything like that.
No.
Favourite singers?
Bob Dylan, Shirley Bassey.
Well, you know, both good. Favourite meal? Steak.
Meat pudding.
Oh, well,
of course
enough.
It is.
Best country visited?
Israel. Oh. It's interesting, that one. Yeah.
Okay. Favourite holiday sports?
Rome. Holiday spots.
Oh, it says sports.
Okay, well, that's a poor translation. Shooting wildfowl.
Favourite actor?
Clint Eastwood.
Best film seen this year?
I don't go to the cinema.
Well, how does he know about Clint Eastwood then?
Don't ask me these difficult questions.
Best friend?
My family.
Biggest influence on career?
People who've given me a chance.
Biggest drag in soccer?
Coach travelling.
Superstitions?
None.
Pre-match meal?
Scrambled egg.
I thought you were going to say none. International honours?
None.
None. Personal ambition?
None. No, to be happy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Oh, well, fair enough. Professional ambition?
Keeping fit.
Well, he had a groin strain his whole career. That certainly worked for him. If you weren't a footballer, what would you be?
Don't know.
Okay. Career after playing?
Haven't thought about it, because I want to keep playing.
Yeah, well, you had to give up at some point. Yeah. Best youngster in the game?
None.
Oh, none?
God. I love Derek Hales.
Derek's great,
isn't he?
Which person in the world would you most like to meet?
No one in particular.
Of course. And advice to youngsters? Well, none, because you don't think any of them any good. But about advice to youngsters?
Don't think the game is all honey. There you go.
All world, honey G.
The world according to... Do you know what? I have a confession to make.
Oh, yeah. Have you booked her for your wedding?
I haven't booked Honey G for my wedding. Okay. No.
To the M, to the A, to the X.
When you were debating whether to admit to Mrs. Jacobs reading to you in bed,
yes,
book at bedtime,
yeah,
it's a very personal thing. You didn't necessarily want to tell the nation, tell the millions of people that listen. I didn't at the time say that I do exactly the same thing. I read, not necessarily a novel, but I'll get The Week, it's a good magazine. Mm. I will read until the future Mrs. Rushton falls asleep. So I do book at bedtime as well. There was me laughing at you.
Yeah.
Isn't it sweet? But we're both romantic guys.
I've just seen a note I made during the chat about football shirts. You know, we were looking at that one with the big shrimps on it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it worn by Prawn Wright Phillips? But we don't want any more of those.
Hang on a second. Where's the threshold there, Jacobs?
None.
Those in glass houses. I'll start talking about Pierre Van Hooijdonk in a minute. But anyway, you are listening.
He's in Harry and Ginny Cooper's novel, which isn't actually happening, apparently.
No, it isn't, which is a great shame, isn't it? Right, thank you very much. That was the Derek Hales interview. We'll be back in a couple of seconds.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, you are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. Max in for Paul today. Very pleased to say that Annie and I have been joined in the studio by Douglas Beaton and Matthew Dale from Classic Football Shirts. You've got an exhibition called The Fabric of Football in London. Some of the greatest old football shirts, some of the best and some of the worst, I presume, as well. And a tie-in with the Bobby Moore Fund as well. My opening question, because I was just flicking through this programme you've given us, and I found Denmark's 86 shirt, and I've got a thing about Hummel kits. If you were to pick, you know, on your desert island and you can only take one shirt, Douglas, which one would it be?
It's an impossible question, but I'd have to say the Germany shirt from the 1990 World Cup, the one with the flag on the front. That's the one that really got me into it 12 years ago with Classic Football shirts. Desperately trying to find one to walk around university like stand out, be a bit different. Couldn't find one. So me and Matt ended up setting up Classic Football Shirts, which is all about classic football shirts, you know.
That's what it says on the tin.
What shirt would you...
I was going to say the same one, but seeing
you're
just taking
it,
I'll probably go for like a Holland 88 one.
That's a classic.
Yeah, an absolute classic. Like, it's a real standout design. We actually had Ruud Hullett down for the first event we did, and he said he absolutely hated it. He said it was like fish scales and who was the person that designed it and everything. But yeah,
it's it looks to be, tell us a bit about, because it's an exhibition and it's a pop-up shop, tell us where it is and how long it's on for and where people can go and see it.
So the exhibition is on Bethnal Green Road, just at the top of Brick Lane, and then we've got a pop-up shop just around the corner on Cheshire Street. It's like a 2-minute walk, so they're quite close to each other. It's been open since Monday and it closes on Sunday. It's pretty busy at the moment, but yeah, it's
brilliant. And you had an exhibition, I remember, because you invited us to at the National Football Museum.
That's right, about a month ago.
We started a partnership with the National Football Museum. We've got a permanent display in there. But with football shirts, there's just so many of them that you want to show off, and we've got just such a massive collection. So we basically started a touring museum, which is Fabric of Football. So it's like 500 of the greatest football shirts of all time. Obviously, it's quite subjective. We've got everything ranging from, you know, the Holland 88 shirt, an actual match-worn version worn by Ronald Koeman against England, through to a shirt covered in frozen prawns and everything in between.
You've got that in front of us. It's brilliant. So, which club's that for?
It's a Spanish third division team called Loja. We've had to work very hard to track those down. And the president of the club just can't believe that we've ordered 1,000 of them.
we're basically trying to get as many people down on Brick Lane to wear them, because apparently, like, Marker, the paper, are going to come over and try and do a feature on, like, why is everyone wearing Locker shirts?
It's an amazing story that, you know, do you ever think when you first started on this journey, this would be... This is how you know, this is your job. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
No, I mean, it was to avoid getting a real job was how we got into it. 12 years later, yeah, we've got 40 people working for the company. We've got half a million units of stock. We've got, you know, we did the exhibition with Juan Mata, Ruud Hullett, Jari Litmanen. We've got customers all around the world. And obviously, the best thing about it is all the best shirts.
I mean, how do you find them? And where? Because a lot of this is old stock, and match-worn, some not, some replica stuff. I mean, is it hard to sort of keep the stocks up?
It is quite hard, but at the same time, we have also appreciated a hell of a lot of stock that we haven't processed. But for the more recent sort of products, we'll deal with brands and clubs to kind of clear their excess stock end of the season. For the other shirts, it tends to be kind of, you know, like, We'll have a sell shirt option on the website. So if anyone has any spare shirts that they want to swap over, we can offer them an exchange process.
It's incredible what people have got in their wardrobe, in the bottom of a drawer. You know, they went on holiday in the 80s to Milan and they've got an AC Milan shirt that's worth a couple of £100. So, I mean, a lot of the shirts in the exhibition are match-worn shirts which come directly from players. You know, the players tend to swap shirts after international matches and Champions League matches. And yeah, there's some really rare shirts that were never even available for sale.
It's funny because we were talking about this last week on the show about when players swap a shirt. I can't remember which two players it was, but one was Cristiano Ronaldo, I think, and the other was a player less interesting. And obviously the Cristiano shirt will be kept by that bloke, but the other shirt, I suppose, will just...
Well, that's
eventually end up in your shop.
To Michael Bridges, weren't we? That happened to him, I think. I think he swapped with, I can't remember who it was, like Costa Curta.
Costa Curta,
and he said he saw like Costa Curta just chuck his shirt away.
That's what I thought happened. I had the sense that might be the case.
Is there a Holy Grail shirt? I mean, is there a shirt that you have been trying to find, you just can't get your hands on?
We're kind of maybe a bit more alternative. It's not the greatest question. Like about a month ago, we'd started watching... Was it the 92 African Nations Cup?
Yeah.
And there were some absolutely crazy shirts on there. Like the Nigeria shirt is just, you could only get it as like a player version, really. So it's those kind of, pretty much for every team, there's always one shirt that they might have only worn once due to like a kit clash or like a particular reason. It's always those shirts.
What's quite mind-blowing about the exhibition is that it's essentially full of Holy Grails. You've got people coming in and just like nearly collapsing because there's not one Holland 88, there's three of them. You know, there's not one Denmark 86, there's the away version with a cow sponsor. You know, there's it's just full of Holy Grails.
So if you're a club fan, say for example you're a United fan, you're wearing the kind of, I associate that shirt with sort of Brian McClair, Lee Sharp.
It was my first ever shirt when I was a kid.
It's great. And I'd imagine a lot of United fans would love to own that shirt.
Yeah, definitely. I always wanted this shirt. It was my first shirt, but to have a long sleeve version, which was only available for the players, that was a bit of a dream. But shirts are just like everybody's got their own personal favourite. Different ones mean different things to, you know, like what was your first match? You know, like what first match down at the pub that you can remember watching? You know, first playing five a side like 10 years ago. And I think World Cups are an interesting reference point because, you know, everyone sort of remembers where they were, you know, 4 years ago and then their first World Cup, and those moments growing up really takes you back on a journey.
The England-Italia 90, that's a good shirt. I mean, it's no the Linfox Cambridge United 87-1 worn by Lindsay Smith and Steve Spriggs. But I always name them by their sponsors because that's a sort of the first thing that you see. I don't know if that's just me.
Well, they were one of the first teams sponsored by Nike as well. So that was like, I think they were pretty much...
Sunderland was the first UK team, but after that it was Cambridge. But yeah, the sponsors are really iconic. You know, you think Arsenal, JVC, Tottenham, Holston, Man United, Sharp. And, you know, when you see that, you know, it really takes you back.
I had this one, the Chelsea, the grey and orange under Hoddle. And actually, I moved last year and I chucked away loads of this stuff, which is really...
We can sort you out.
Probably find
tragedy.
It back in the shop.
I would have given them to you. We should say that if people come along, there's an official programme. I mean, I'd say this is worth... Is there a price of admission?
It's free entry. The program's £5.
Well worth it because there's an incredible reference book, and I was complimenting you on the notes that you've written about each shirt, which are excellent and really interesting. So that's worth it on its own, I'd say.
Yeah, thank you very much. And the exhibition, we like to think it's like an education in football shirts as well. You know, you can learn a lot from little features about what's the difference between a player's shirt and a replica shirt. What's the difference between shirts worn in the Champions League and the Premier League? There's a lot of knowledge that you can absorb.
There's some really subtle differences that maybe you wouldn't know. Like, say, remember the Man United 94 shirt that had the big stadium in it? The ones that were sold in the shop had like an Omro logo in the actual stadium. But for the Champions League, they weren't allowed to sort of have branding, sort of like two different brands on there. So they had to remove the Umbro from the stadium, which makes it like...
This is very specialist knowledge.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
For one of these really rare shirts, what sort of money it changes hands for, you know?
I mean, anything. It's what someone's willing to pay for something. I mean, if you think about Jeff Hurst wanted £500,000 for his 66 World Cup final shirt. Pele shirt from 1970 sold for over £100,000. I mean, we haven't sold a shirt for that much, but collectors, you know, will do what it takes in order to put something in their collection. And I know myself have pay a lot in order to put together the exhibition.
And what's the connection with the Bobby Moore Fund? Because it's Football Shirt Friday.
It's a partnership.
So we're like encouraging, and the Bobby Moore Fund are encouraging everyone to wear a football shirt to work tomorrow. And then you pay, I think it's £1 or £2 to the Bobby Moore Fund in order to do that and just to raise awareness.
Do you know how you do it?
Can
you just text the contribution?
I think so,
We'll be taking donations at the venue.
Because we all take part in it here.
Yeah, definitely.
All, you know. And let's just go through some of these. We've done the prawn one. You've got the famous Dave Seaman one from 96.
It's like a pack of Skittles on a shirt.
And then we've got Cameroon 2004. It's like a jumpsuit all in one.
Controversial, though.
Something else. I remember
it's a bit tricky to get into. You have to take the zips down the shoulder. It actually got banned by FIFA, but Cameroon decided to ignore the ban, and then they got deducted points for like the World Cup qualification.
You know, it's really wonderful. But someone, where did you get that from? Sorry, Max.
This has come from a wholesaler. I think it was the excess stock, probably because it got banned. They had like quite a lot left over. And they'd had it in storage for about, we only picked it up about a year or two ago. So they've had it, it's from 2004, so they had it in storage for about 13
totally
years.
Ridiculous ideas, and pulls your shirt and you'll be naked.
But it sort of questions what is a football kit, and FIFA decided that, you know, it had to be a separate shirt and shorts and socks in order to make a football football shirt. So they really tested the rules.
We did actually have one, someone actually bought one in the shop the other day as well. They had to try it on, but it took about 10 minutes to try it on.
And he was a fit lad as well, and he really struggled to get into it.
I love the idea of, you know, Ruud Gullit, of players really enjoying playing in shirts, and that sort of truth that if you are comfortable in what you're wearing, you are better at what you do.
It must
be most true for sport.
I think there's a story that when he went to PSV, he actually tried to change the kit to make it more simple. And when he was at the event last month, that's what he said. He said he didn't like the shirts that had loads of stuff going on. He just wanted it nice, clean, sort of like a crisp shirt. Yeah. So,
I did hear a suggestion this week. And I know the NFL do this, and what we call the throwback shirt. Yeah. So they'll have a weekend in the NFL where everybody wears, like Green Bay wear the shirt they wore in the 30s sort of thing, and they do look amazing. And there's a thought that this could be some kind of charity thing, that the Premier League could do this for one weekend.
It's
a brilliant idea, isn't it?
It is kind of happening at the World Cup, isn't it? Like, there's a lot of designs that are being heavily influenced, like pretty much to the point where you can see the same pattern.
Yeah, you've got Germany wearing the flag pattern again. You've got Spain wearing the sash pattern from 94 World Cup.
Nigeria have got
retro design. Colombia, Sweden.
Even England have gone pretty much traditional, isn't it?
Yeah,
okay.
That means we're going to win it. Steve Gunas says there's a club called Arsenal in Argentina. I've been trying for ages to get hold
Arsenal
of
Arsenal de Sarandi.
There is one at the shop.
There is one in the shop.
There you go, Steve.
Pulled it out, yeah.
And Football Shirt Friday. It's hashtag Football Shirt Friday tomorrow. If you text Bobby to 70200, so 7200, to donate £5. Obviously, all the funds go to research into bowel cancer. Wear your football shirt tomorrow. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
Absolutely fascinating. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
No thanks at all.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.